Hey, Mama. I know getting meals on the table for your family can feel tough, especially finding weeknight-friendly meals that everyone in the family will love. There's a good chance it's why you're here, at least I hope so. Helping moms take the stress out of feeding their family is my biggest passion. It's why I share with you here, and it's why I created the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. If you've ever wished this podcast came with a weekly done-for-you dinner plan with a shopping list and meal prep tips, or maybe a recipe library with over 200 family-friendly recipes, cooking tips, how-tos, and hacks? Well, it does, and it's all in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club over on Patreon. Starting at just $3 a month for access to our 200-plus recipe vault with printable PDF recipes, or $5 a month for weekly done-for-you dinner plans, plus the recipe vault and bonus podcasts every month, the Healthy Mama Cooking Club is the dinnertime solution you're looking for. Head to patreon.com/healthymamachris or click the link in the show notes to try it out for a week free and join over 130 other busy mamas making weeknight meals work with the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. I can't wait to see you in there. All right, let's get on with the episode. If you're feeling like everything that made sense about feeding your kids is all of a sudden different as they get older and their food preferences change, they can voice their opinion on food more, and feeding them is both more free and frustrating than ever before, let's chat. In today's episode, I am here as a mom, not a food expert, and we are talking about how we in our family are practically feeding our kids these days. Does cooking feel like a struggle more often than you want to admit? Do school lunches get boring after the third week, and even cereal for breakfast sometimes feels like too much effort? Let alone feeding yourself and your family meals with vegetables they'll actually eat? If you're a busy mama like me, you can probably relate. I'm Chris Dovniak, and welcome to My Healthy Mama Kitchen. I'm a trained chef, culinary nutritionist, and mama of two, and I'm here to guide you in making healthy eating easy and accessible by simplifying your meal plan, demystifying meal prep, taking the stress out of weeknight dinners, and helping you learn to cook your family delicious, nutrient-dense meals along the way without spending hours in the kitchen or thousands of dollars a month at Whole Foods. In this podcast, I'm here to share my best tips, tools, and hacks for your real-life Healthy Mama Kitchen with a side of humor and sometimes a little bit of spice. So grab your favorite apron and let's get cooking. Welcome back to the Healthy Mama Kitchen podcast. I'm Chris Dovniak, founder of Healthy Mama Chris. I'm a trained chef, recipe developer, but most importantly, I'm a busy mom just like you. And today's episode kind of came about at the end of the year when I did a survey for my Healthy Mama Cooking Club members. And so many of them asked me for more tips on feeding kids. And the truth is that I am in no way a kids feeding expert. But I do like to talk about how we feed our kids and our family and the strategies that are working for us, because I love to hear that from other moms as well. And it's been a while since I talked about feeding my kids here on the podcast. I talk a little bit about my family's current favorite meals in my monthly What We Ate posts, which are now in the Cooking Club on Patreon, but you can listen to a whole year's worth of monthly meal recaps over the past year if you scroll back to previous episodes. But I do get asked pretty often for tips on feeding kids, but my kids are a lot older than when I first started the podcast and when I kind of talked about it and gave advice about it and what was working for us in the past. They're not toddlers anymore. They're 6 and 10, but new stages always bring new challenges. So I thought it was time for an update on how we're managing feeding our kids in this season of our life, the things that are easier now that they're older, the things that are still frustrating, even though we've gotten through a lot of those difficult early toddler days and first feeding, you know, things that we needed to navigate, and some of the meals and foods that they are enjoying lately. Obviously, every kiddo is different. Every family is different. Kids have different, you know, feeding issues, sensory issues, food preferences. So none of this is meant to be I guess, advice. It's more a chat between moms. It's just me being here as a mom, sharing with all of you my own experience and what's working for our family now. So just a reminder that I am not a pediatric feeding expert. I'm just a chef and a mom. I do have a background in nutrition. I was on the path to become a dietitian before I pivoted and went to culinary school after college instead. So nutrition is a big passion of mine. I have several nutrition certifications, but none surrounding feeding kids. So if you do have specific questions on how to feed your kids, or you want more expert advice on feeding your kids, I highly recommend Feeding Littles for Younger Kids and Kids Eat in Color. They're both on Instagram. I'll link them in the show notes. And I also have several episodes, previous episodes on feeding kids from Megan from Feeding Littles and from Natalie from Super Healthy Kids. So I will link those episodes in the show notes as well if you want more expert advice. But today, it's just you and me, so grab a coffee or a tea or a glass of wine or a kombucha, depending on what time of the day it is, and let's chat. My goal with my kids has always been to introduce them to a wide variety of foods and flavors, make sure their plates are generally balanced. However, I had a professor in college tell me that kids need 3 square meals a week to get what they need nutritionally. A week. Now, this doesn't mean they shouldn't eat. She meant in terms of getting the micronutrients kids need. Kids still need food to survive, like we do. But it was a good reminder years later when I had kids to not sweat the small stuff. And spoiler alert, I totally sweat the small stuff when my kids were really young. But it was something I kept in the back of my mind and something that has guided me, I think, a lot as a parent, that as long as we are introducing our kids to a wide variety of foods, we're making those foods available for them, we are giving them those balanced plates, they'll eventually get what they need. And if they're not, then there are resources out there to help us, right? Thankfully, this has worked for my kids. And even though I stressed out a lot when they were young and, you know, having trouble nursing or, you know, navigating first foods and potential food allergies and all of that, we got through it. And now we're at a point where I feel like food is generally pretty easy in my house. And I'm really, really thankful for that. I know that's not true for a lot of families, but it wasn't without figuring things out and figuring out what works for us and the approaches that work for us around food. So now that my kids are older, they're 6 and 10, like I mentioned, mealtimes come with new challenges. It's not so much forcing my kids to eat. Not that we ever forced our kids to eat. We've always been really adamant that we want to make sure that we offer them food, but they get to choose what and how much food they eat, that division of responsibility. If you don't know the work of Ellen Satter on feeding kids, I will link her website down below. She has really, really awesome advice on raising kids who are, you know, intuitive and empowered in their eating. I really, really love her work, and it's definitely formed a lot of our approaches around kids and food and feeding. So we've always had a whole foods approach in our family. So lots of real whole foods, but we also want to make sure that all foods fit in our house. Unless there's, you know, a food allergy or sensitivity present, like my older daughter is sensitive to processed corn, like my husband is. My husband was diagnosed with his corn sensitivity in like the 80s. So he has been dealing with it for a long time, and he can eat whole corn in small amounts, even things like tortilla chips or corn tortillas, but he can't do, you know, high fructose corn syrup, dextrose, maltodextrin, those corn, like processed corn-based ingredients in foods, which is really interesting. It was something that I didn't know a lot about until, you know, I married him and we discovered that our daughter also has a sensitivity to processed corn. And so we don't it's not eliminated from our house entirely, but we just are very conscious about foods that have that. And because we eat a lot of unprocessed whole foods anyway, and when I say a lot, the vast majority of the food we eat is unprocessed, we don't have to worry about it a whole ton. And because she's older, she can tolerate more. So it's just something we are conscious that she has a sensitivity to and we try and avoid. But, you know, when she goes to birthday parties or she's out with her friends and she has the bag of chips that might have maltodextrin in it, or she has the cake where the frosting almost definitely has high fructose corn syrup in it, we don't. It's not a big deal for us. And that's us. And that's our philosophy as a family. What we keep in our house is real whole foods. And obviously my kids have snacks. I've shared them a lot. You know, we love snacks from Trader Joe's. We'll grab snacks from Costco. So we still have processed foods in our house. But for the most part, I try and provide lots of opportunities for those unprocessed foods first. And then the snacks are for, you know, school lunches and things like that, because they do want to be like a lot of the other kids at school, right? They love bringing my energy balls to school and my homemade muffins, but they also love some, you know, Simple Mills crackers so they can have their crackers alongside their friends as well. So that's kind of how we approach food, mostly whole foods, and that's how I cook. But we don't have any wild restrictions around food either. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you have restrictions around food, it's wild. We just try and have that kind of balanced approach. Any of you who have listened to this podcast for years and years know that I have a history of disordered eating. And even though I'm at a really, really healthy place now, the healthiest, most balanced place I've ever been, I'm even in a place now where I've talked about this a little bit over the past year. I have really struggled with my hormone imbalance. I have PCOS, and this is not an episode about me, but I have really had to reevaluate the way that I was feeding myself and really, and how I was treating my body, and really focus on taking care of myself in a really intentional way. And for a long time, I was really focusing on this idea of intuitive eating, which I'm still all for, learning how to approach food from a balanced perspective, listening to our bodies, you know, getting all of that diet culture BS out of our head and focusing on what works for us. But I've had to take a step back and go, okay, how can I be both intuitive and intentional about how I'm feeding myself? And it's interesting, as I'm navigating all of this and taking better care of myself, I'm really conscious about how I talk to my kids about this too, because my kids are well aware that I've had issues with food before and why. We talk a lot about the why around food, why we eat whole foods at home, why we focus on foods that nourish our body and foods that are all the time foods and foods that are sometimes foods. You know, we have a discussion when my daughter goes into the snack drawer at 8 a.m. on a Saturday and I catch her just sitting on the couch eating a bag of chips. And I'm like, girl, that is not we need some real food first. Like, chips are fine. We can have chips with our lunch later, but we need something to nourish our bodies first. We have that nourish first approach, I guess, is kind of the way we approach things. But also, we don't have restrictions. And I don't ever tell my kids how much they should eat. I have them try a bite of food at meals. Some people don't like this. We don't necessarily force them, but we say you need to try it. Like, you can't tell me you don't like it unless you try it. So they have a try bite. And if they don't want it, they don't have to eat it. We never force them. And part of that is because I did grow up with a lot of expectations around food. Like, you had to drink this, or when I say drink this, I mean drink milk. That was like one of my core memories, was drinking milk I didn't want to drink, you know, or finishing everything on my plate, or, you know, not getting up from the table until I ate something that I really didn't want to eat. Another one of my memories is my dad made French onion soup, which ironically is one of my favorite soups now. And I just didn't like onions when I was a child. And I remember, you know, my parents telling me I had to eat it or at least try it or whatever it was. And I was like so repulsed by it. And so we don't want to give we don't want to give our kids those type of negative experiences around food as much as possible. Like, we're not perfect. And I'm sure that they are going to have some negative memories around food. We all have negative and positive memories in many areas of our lives. So this is not me like saying that this is the absolute best way to approach things, but this is how we have approached things and how we've sort of modified our approach as our kids have gotten older. Still really focusing on teaching them to listen to their bodies, to have that whole foods first approach, but that all foods fit. But some foods are more in moderation than others. And as I navigate choosing foods that are right for me and, you know, paying closer attention to what I eat without being overly restrictive is something that we can have a conversation about with the kids too, and why I'm choosing things. Because they'll ask, you know, like my 10-year-old will ask me why I'm choosing one thing over another. And I'll explain it to her, you know, because this is how I am nourishing my body, because this is what makes me feel good. This is what helps me to balance my blood sugar, which helps me to balance my hormone condition. And so it's a conversation. And it's interesting as she gets older too, watching her approach food when she's, you know, out and about and we go out to eat, and she's so good. Actually, my younger daughter is really good too about ordering what she wants and eating the amount that feels good to her and then either taking it home or letting the rest go. There's really no, we've never put any expectations on how much they should eat. My younger daughter will ask me, like, did I eat enough protein? Because we are always trying to get our kids to eat protein because it keeps them full, right? Protein's the most satiating nutrient. And so I'll be like, you know, if she didn't have any of it, I'll be like, well, you know, maybe one or two more bites. And if she did eat some, like, nope, that's good. Is your belly full? We always ask them, is your belly full? And one day, actually, it was probably a month and a half ago, my daughter said, what does it mean when your belly is full? And I was like, what an interesting question. And so we talked about, you know, when you are hungry and your stomach sort of growls and it feels like you need food, and then what it feels like once you have eaten and it feels like your belly has had enough food and it's full, and maybe you're starting to be overfull. And so we had a really interesting conversation. I love that my kids are older now and we can have those conversations. And I think it's easier to have those conversations because I have done a lot of that work personally, kind of around wording around food. And I really want my kids to have a positive view of food, but at the same time, also want to eat those real, whole, healthful, nourishing foods. And so that has been interesting and important, and also a bit difficult for me to navigate as someone who had a lot of negative food experiences as a child, and then, you know, struggled with disordered eating, and am now in a place where I can be intentional about what I'm eating in a really balanced way. And, you know, food thoughts don't overtake me. I don't get influenced by outside diet culture anymore. And this is only after many, many, many years of work and finding an approach that works for me around food that feels like food freedom, but also feels intentional and nourishing for me. And so that's kind of where we're at in approaching foods with our kids, and in terms of, you know, how we explain how we're feeding ourselves, how we're feeding the family, and how we kind of encourage them to eat the foods that they enjoy, but also the foods that feel good for them, and listen to their bodies as well. My kids are so, so different though. My older daughter has always been more adventurous, and my younger daughter has always been a little more selective. And I ate pretty much the same way during both of my pregnancies, and we approached food pretty much the same way with both of them in terms of first foods. We were more so in that kind of baby-led weaning approach with my younger daughter, only because I was a nervous first mom. And when my older daughter was really young, I was still working in a professional kitchen. So my mom was watching her during the day for most of the day. I did the breakfast and lunch shift and then came home for afternoon time and bedtime and all of that. And so I didn't want to, you know, kind of, I guess, put that on her. Like, you need to feed her in this new way that was very different than the approaches when I was young. And so she did a lot of purees, but she turned out fine. So however you feed your kids, chances are they're going to be fine. But So there wasn't really anything different that we did other than more baby led weaning and maybe even more variety with my younger daughter, and they still ended up how they are. And who knows what they'll be like in another 10, 20 years. But right now, my older daughter is much more adventurous. I love to tell the story about how we were on a little girl's date and I was like, let's go grab an appetizer and a cocktail for me and a mocktail for her. And the first thing she decided she wanted on the menu was grilled octopus. And I'm like, of course you do. Of course you want the grilled octopus. And I'm not going to say no, because I'm like, I want you to try these new foods. And it was delicious, by the way. She's also the kiddo who asked me a couple weeks ago if she could try caviar. And I was like, well, yeah, but we got to wait till it's on sale, because we're not going to spend a ton of money on caviar in case you don't like it. And of course, it went on sale the next week at Whole Foods. We got some. We ate it Cheese Gal style. She's on Instagram and TikTok. Courtney LaCourte, she's fantastic. I feel like I should ask her to be on the podcast. Would you guys like her on the podcast? I think she'd be really fun to have a conversation with. She shares really, really delicious like food and wine pairings. She's a lot of fun. But anyway, we had caviar with creme fraiche and red onion and chives on salt and vinegar chips. And of course she loved it. And actually my younger daughter also tried it and loved it. So now my kids love caviar, and it might've been a mistake. In any case, my younger daughter will try a lot of things, but her preferences are much different than my older daughter, and same approach, different preferences. And so we navigate that a lot in our day-to-day meals. A great example of their differences in food preferences is, you know, I had my mommy daughter date with Sage, my 10-year-old, and she wanted grilled octopus. I brought my younger daughter with me on a whirlwind trip to Rhode Island to surprise my sister for her 30th birthday. We went to go see Kate Kennedy in Boston. She is the host of the Be There in 5 podcast. It is a millennial-focused pop culture podcast, and she is so much fun. If you don't listen to her, definitely go listen to her if that kind of, you know, fun conversation is something that interests you. Very different than this podcast, but she is a podcast that I enjoy listening to every Sunday. So we went on this whirlwind trip to Rhode Island, and we got to the airport really early. And so I was like, oh, maybe we'll sit down, we'll have a nice dinner. And I was like, what do you want to eat? Where do you want to eat? And she was like, Chick-fil-A. I was like, oh, okay. Like, you could have any, we could get burgers, we could get Asian food. Like, what do you want to get? She was like, I want Chick-fil-A. I'm like, all right. So we got chicken nuggets and french fries and lemonades, and we sat there in the terminal and had our Chick-fil-A, and that girl was so happy. So if I told my older daughter that she could have anything she wanted in the terminal, she would be overwhelmed for a couple minutes, and then she would be, I know that she would know exactly what she wanted, and she would tell me, and we would go there, and she would probably want an appetizer and a main. And, you know, she still likes Chick-fil-A too on occasion, but she is definitely more of the foodie in this stage of life. So in terms of how we navigate that with our day-to-day meals, because it's been like 20 minutes and I haven't even talked to you about how we navigate our day-to-day meals, but I think everything I shared is an important thing to talk about first, because how we approach our day-to-day meals is influenced by how we want our kids to approach food and how we want to approach foods with our kids. That whole foods first, balanced, but all foods fit kind of approach, which I know kind of sounds like a dichotomy, but it works for us. And it has seemed to work thus far. And I know when it comes to their food preferences, part of it is their age. Like, my younger daughter's still only 6. She's not an older kid yet. But some of it is simply their personality. And so I think if you as a parent need encouragement in this area, remember that our kids are just small adults, right? They don't necessarily have the same capacity to understand why they need to eat a vegetable from time to time like we do as adults, which, I mean, let's be real, it can be a struggle for us sometimes too, whether we're selective or we just haven't made the time to eat a vegetable. Kids are different, just like you, just like me, just like the next person are different. So I just try and respect their food choices, find alternatives when I can. can, and we try and make it work in our day-to-day meals. But I also allow myself to be frustrated a little bit sometimes. Like, suddenly both of my kids don't like cucumbers? Like, why? What has a cucumber ever done to you? I love cucumbers. They're crisp and fresh. Oh my gosh, just some cucumber slices with some rice vinegar and salt is such a good snack. But all of a sudden, they don't like cucumbers. And I was actually discussing this with my friend Paula. She's my cooking class assistant, and she taught kids cooking classes for years. She has two boys who are 12 and 15, and she's such an encouraging mom friend. She's in that like next stage of motherhood. And she also loves food. She's a huge foodie and also cares a lot about eating lots of real whole food. So we have lots of food discussions, and one of her sons doesn't like avocado. And she was like, you know, it's sad that he doesn't like avocado, but he loves so many other good foods. And it was a good reminder of me that, you know, kids are humans too. They're just small adults. They will be adults one day, I should say. And they have preferences. And even if it's frustrating, one food that they might not eat won't make or break their health or nutrition or their food experience overall. So I try to keep that and the advice that I got from my professor in college about kids only really needing 3 square meals a week in terms of getting what they need nutritionally, that it'll all work out in the end. And if not, and if we did have bigger struggles, then there's always resources, right? There's lots of feeding experts out there.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So for us in our day-to-day meals, breakfast is probably the biggest challenge meal for us. And I'm constantly switching up breakfast to find breakfasts that work for my kids. My kids, like many other kids, really just like sweet breakfasts. My younger daughter does really like eggs and she'll eat chicken sausage. And we, like I've said before, really try and focus on protein. I know that kids don't need as much protein as adults do. We're not trying to overload them with protein. We just want to have protein in their meals because it's easy for at least my kids to snack on a lot of like fruits and veggies and crackers and breads and things like that and not have a lot of protein. And then they're hungry all the time. So we try and focus on making sure they have protein at meals so that they're not super hungry in between meals. So their meals actually keep them full. So my kids tend to like sweet breakfasts, and they also don't have a huge appetite in the morning. So I try to have that all foods fit approach to food. We don't ban any foods, but with our real food focus, we don't keep a lot of kind of those quick breakfast convenience foods in the house. We save those for like camping. We'll let the kids choose, you know, a quote unquote real cereal, you know, the kind of cereal that you get at the regular grocery store or not in the, you know, the healthy section of the grocery store. So we try and focus on real foods, and that's what we keep in our house other than special occasions. So we don't have sugary cereals in our house because my kids would want that if we had them in the house. And other than, like I said, my youngest really likes hard-cooked eggs and scrambled eggs. On weekdays, they are both kind of light eaters in the morning. They don't want a ton of food. My younger daughter's a late riser and a slow eater, so we simply don't have the time a lot of the time. I will make hard-cooked eggs, and she will have those in the morning, but if I make them more than one week in a row, she gets sick of them. So for us, our priority in the morning is easy meals, easy options that can happen fast before school. So as of late, meal prepping breakfast for the kids has become an essential for me. If you've heard me talk about meal prep, I'm going to talk about meal prep a lot more in the next couple of episodes. But if you've heard me talk about my meal prep method before, I have my 5 meal prep essentials. One of those is breakfast or lunches. Lately, I've been doing a lot of breakfast for the kids and lunches for myself and my husband to make life easier. It's become an essential because it makes our mornings that much easier to have something prepped and on hand for the kids. And like I said, I like to try and make sure it has some sort of a protein in it to keep them full until lunch, but at least something with good ingredients. My kids' favorites by far are muffins. They really love my coconut flour banana muffins. I've shared those so many times on my meal preps on Instagram. If you don't follow over there, I'm at Healthy Mama Chris. I share my meal preps almost every single week over there. And that's their favorite. We also love muffins from Tayshia from The Natural Nurturer. Recently, they've really loved her chocolate veggie muffins. I also really enjoy them. They have carrots and spinach in them, so there's lots of good ingredients in them. They're fluffy and they're really easy to make in a blender. So those have been really great for them to grab and go in the morning. We use the choose to method when it comes to breakfast and lunches. I think I've talked about this before. I can talk about it more in detail, but I don't even know how much detail I need to talk about it. Essentially, we give them two options. So they, at the beginning of the week, we have two options. What do you guys want for breakfast? Usually each of them chooses one. One is something that I can meal prep and one is something we can make really quick, like quick oatmeal or scrambled eggs, something like that. And then we always have a backup option, which for us is smoothies. We always have ingredients for smoothies on hand if the kids don't want either of those. So typically I will meal prep something like muffins, or I'll do protein waffles or homemade drinkable yogurts, and we have something like that and then another easy option. So my younger daughter really loves, like I said, she likes eggs, she likes yogurt and berries, so I will wash or have easy grab, like easy to wash berries. So lately I've not been prepping or pre-prepping, I guess washing raspberries and blackberries because they just don't last, but I will wash blueberries and strawberries, and those are just easy to grab and throw, well, next to the yogurt. She likes it next to the yogurt, and then she will put her own honey and berries on her yogurt. They also love the Amy Lou or Belinsky's chicken sausages, chicken breakfast sausage. We'll oftentimes have Four Wishes cereal on hand, which is just a slightly better for you cereal brand for easy breakfast as well. She loves drinkable yogurts. She loves protein waffles. My older daughter can make a lot of breakfast herself, and she will if I ask, or she'll ask to make her own breakfast. She does not like eggs. She will not eat eggs. She'll try like egg cups or quiche when I make them, but she just really doesn't. Oh, egg cups are another one my younger daughter really loves too, but she doesn't really like them. So that's fine. I mean, it makes breakfast more difficult, but she doesn't like them. That's okay. So she'll have yogurt. She likes fruit on the bottom yogurt, which we get her on occasion, but we try not to do it too much because it's pretty sugary. So we keep that as more of a treat. She loves protein waffles, smoothies. She loves oatmeal, so she'll make her own. We get kind of better for you oatmeal packets. I'm working on a homemade oatmeal packet recipe, which should be really simple. So that one's going to come out at some point this year. Those drinkable yogurts, like I mentioned, I think I might have said that already. And sometimes she likes chicken sausages, but she kind of goes back and forth. Sometimes she'll ask me for leftovers for breakfast or the Trader Joe's unexpected cheddar chicken sausage for breakfast, and I let her have them because food is just food. It doesn't matter if it is a quote unquote breakfast food or not. So we try and just kind of approach it with that choose to method. Sometimes they'll throw a wild card out there for me, and we do our best to make sure that breakfast is nutrient dense and happens fast. So that is breakfast in our house. In terms of lunches, my kids are in school now. They were homeschooled previously, and we approach food in basically the same way, but I just pack it now versus them having it at home. So at the beginning of the year, my kids wanted school lunch once a week, and that fizzled out pretty quick. They were like, school lunch is not great. And so I pack them lunches pretty much every day. Sometimes my older daughter will pack lunch as well. It just is easier for me because they do need to leave for school before 8 a.m. So it's pretty early. So I pack their lunches most days. My daughter will pack lunches if I ask her to, but it just makes the morning go more smoothly if I do it for the most part. So we make lunches easy with my school lunch planner and the choose to method as well. The school lunch planner is free. I will link that down below so you can print that out. We have it laminated on the side of our fridge. Honestly, we don't use it as much at the end of the year. We use it a ton the first half of the year. And now we've kind of gotten into a routine that I just go, okay, what fruit do you want? What veggie do you want? So they each choose one. That's the choose two part. And some sort of a main that has some sort of a protein in it. The interesting part about school lunches for my kids is my kids don't like sandwiches. They will occasionally eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but, and thankfully my kids don't go to a nut-free school, but they really don't like sandwiches. So we do a lot of interesting lunches that don't include sandwiches. So all of their lunches have some sort of a veggie, some sort of a fruit, some sort of a protein main, and some sort of a side. And lately they've been enjoying a lot of kind of Lunchable style lunches, not by the Lunchable brand, but things like they love pepperoni and salami or deli meat or cheese with crackers. They love what we call chicken dippers, which is just my perfect pan seared chicken chopped up with some sort of dressing. My younger daughter loves my cilantro jalapeno ranch. My older daughter really loves ketchup or my honey Dijon dressing as well, or honey mustard dressing as well. They love quesadillas for lunches, which I guess you could argue is kind of a sandwich. They'll eat pasta salad for lunch or quinoa salad. My older daughter really, really loves leftovers for lunch. So we've been doing a lot of the thermos method where we heat up hot water, put it in the thermos, it keeps it nice and hot, and then we dump the water out, add the hot leftovers in there, and she will have leftovers for lunches. She loves pasta, so if we have pasta, it's almost always her lunch the next day. She also really loves any sort of soups or stews for lunch the next day, so we'll do leftovers for lunches, and I really just kind of chat with them about what they want at the beginning of the week. They choose those things, the veggie, the fruit, the main, and I'll grab sides to go with it, and I always do some prep ahead so that lunches come together really fast. So veggies are prepped, fruit is prepped, proteins are sometimes prepped. So lunches come together in like 5 minutes in the morning. School lunches are not a stress for us in our house because we discuss it ahead. I prep ahead, whether it's, you know, like I said, veggies, fruit, protein, sauce. Everything is kind of easy when it comes to school lunches, which I'm very thankful for. I have a whole school lunch mini course that teaches our very simple school lunch method if you're interested in knowing how we make school lunches easy. But it is truly, it is the one meal that is easy now. Once we figured out the fact that my kids don't like sandwiches and we need to do something non-traditional for lunch, but we also need to make it easy because I want mornings to be less stressful. So snacks with our kids. Snacks are tough because my kids are in school now. They have interacted with a lot of other kids for many years now, and my kids want fun snacks. And we try and encourage a mix of whole foods snacks that I make from home, like muffins and energy balls and my cookie dough energy bars. But my kids like packaged snacks. And honestly, in this stage, I buy the good stuff and I focus on the main meals and I let my kids kind of decide what they want for snacks in between. I kind of choose my battles when it comes to snacks. At this point, like I said, we have focused a lot on teaching our kids to listen to their bodies and to eat when they're hungry and stop when they're full. And so I trust my kids when it comes to food and when it comes to, you know, going to the snack drawer or going into the fridge and grabbing a string cheese or a Babybel cheese or grabbing an apple from the fruit basket, whatever it is, and eating in between meals in a way that feels good for them. They bring a snack to school with them, of course, and we try and do whole food snacks, but it's a mix. Sometimes I make Monster Energy balls and they have those, and sometimes they bring in, you know, Snap Pea crisps or plantain chips or an apple, something like that, for their snack at school. And when they come home, they usually grab something out of the snack drawer. I love to be the mom who has the plate of kale chips or, you know, the hummus and veggies ready for them at the end of the day, but a lot of the time I'm still finishing up work when they come home. My husband typically picks them up from school most days. And so they're hungry. They want a snack. And I don't necessarily have time to pull them together something fancy. So hopefully that's encouraging for those other working moms who are like, or even stay-at-home moms. It doesn't matter what kind of mom you identify as. Life is tough for all of us and life is busy. And if you don't feel like you have the time to put out a fancy snack midday, that is okay. I am right there with you. We have a snack drawer and my kids grab what they grab. Now, I will say, we keep good snacks in the snack drawer, or what we consider good snacks in our house. Yes, there are quite a few processed snacks, but they also have access to the cheese and the olives and the fruit and things like that that they can have as well, and anything that I've meal prepped ahead too. We don't typically keep things like candy, and we do have some candy in the snack drawer, but they typically ask before they have that because they know that that's a sometimes food. So we'll keep it in there, but they won't just like grab a bag of jelly beans and eat it. They'll be like, hey, can I have some jelly beans? And they'll grab a handful. And I always, what our approach is usually when they do have something like that, unless it's like a dessert or something, if they want some in the afternoon, they don't usually ask for it. But if they do, we try and just have them have it with something else, like have it with a meat stick or have it with a string cheese or something so that it's a little bit more fillings. Obviously, jelly beans are not a snack, right? So some of their current favorites when it comes to snacks, I mentioned a bunch of them. They love plantain chips. They love snap pea crisps. They love the Power Crunch Kids bars. They love Z bars. They really love the Blue Diamond salt and vinegar almonds. I don't know why I'm laughing, but they really do like those. They love kale chips. They love shredded or string cheese or Babybel cheese. They love meat sticks. So they like the Vermont sticks or the Chomps meat sticks. They love Nature's Bakery fig bars. They love Simple Mills crackers. The Good Crisp chips are like the number one chip we keep in our house. They love the Lesser Evil popcorn. Let's see. Fruit, obviously. Olives. They love olives. Those are the main things. They love dried fruit as well, which we'll get from Trader Joe's. So those are the primary snacks that we keep on hand. Sometimes we'll keep veggie sticks on hand. Sometimes we'll have Quinn's pretzels on hand. So those are the type of things that they enjoy. And we just try and keep those good snacks on hand and trust them to kind of listen to their body, which we can do at this stage because I think we've establish that. I know that there are young kids who don't necessarily have that self-awareness yet, which, so, you know, the open snack drawer might not work as well for you in this stage, but it's working for us now as my kids are older and we want to establish that trust in them and allow them to make their own decisions around food. So last but not least, let's talk about dinner. So dinners, we focus a lot on what I call base meals. And I'm not sure, I need to look back. I have been planning a specific episode on base meals for a while. I talked about anchor meals. So I have all these little terms that I use around meals and our meal planning. And an anchor meal is one of those meals that can kind of be mixed and matched, but it's something that our family always enjoys. I always use the example of salmon with rice and broccoli. My family will never complain about salmon with rice and broccoli. And so that is one of those anchor meals on our meal plan that is just a family favorite that we could modify a little bit to make it different. Like we could do teriyaki salmon one week, or we can just do plain pan-seared salmon one week. Maybe we mix it up and do a coconut rice, or we do just a plain white rice. But they're those meals that are like go-to, we always come back to, and base meals make up a large portion of those anchor meals. So I'll link the anchor meals episode and I will record an episode on base meals soon. But the idea of base meals is a meal where I make the same base for the whole family, whether it is like a grain base, like a rice bowl or quinoa, or it's the same protein, and we can all mix and match the toppings, the sides, based on our own preferences. Because I won't lie, my youngest is tough when it comes to food. And sometimes my oldest will throw me for a loop as well. But for the most part, we choose base meals because they really eliminate that food fight in our family. We don't have a lot of fighting around food. And I mean, not like, you know, fisticuffs fighting, but, you know, we don't do a lot of arguing around food. We're pretty straightforward when we're like, this is what we're serving, and you can choose what you want to put on your plate. You can eat as much as feels good to you, and then the kitchen's closed. Sometimes we do a little dessert. We love doing a little walk around the neighborhood with a Good Pop. If you've never had Good Pops, oh my gosh, they're like better for you popsicles. They're so good. They have fruit ones. My kids love the ones that are like Rocket Pops. They're cherry limeade, and they're just made with fruit juice. And I love the chocolate ones. I've been eating the, I think it's like the almond chocolate crunch ones. They're dairy-free as well at night as like my nighttime treat. They're so good. So my kids like doing that too. And so it's, we don't you know, desserts aren't off limits in our house. We just don't do them every night. But we typically are like, okay, here's the meal. And after this, the kitchen's closed. So we will have a meal where we put all the ingredients out on the table and my kids will pick and choose what they want to put on their tacos or their bowl, which is two of our go-to meals. Or we just provide them with options. So for a burger, do you want your burger on a bun? Do you want the bun on the side? Do you want it on lettuce? Do you want it cut up? And that gives them some autonomy while still making the same meal for the whole family. My family doesn't love a ton of like casseroles or one dish meals like that. We do lots of sheet pan meals and a lot of bowls, like I mentioned, but I will create them on occasion because people ask for them and I am a recipe creator. It's what I do. But for the most part, they really love those meals where they can choose their own toppings and they can make their own choices and make it their own. So some meals that my family has been loving lately, they love DIY Cobb salads. They love bowls. Lately, they've been loving my salsa verde pork bowls, my harissa chicken bowls, and my sheet pan shawarma bowls. The sheet pan shawarma bowl is on my website, and the harissa chicken bowls and the salsa verde pork bowls are in my Balance in a Bowl book. There's an ebook and then a print version as well. They also love my Korean beef bowls. They don't eat the eggs on it, but other than that, they love kimchi. They love the Korean beef. Actually, I should say my older daughter likes the kimchi. My younger daughter eats rice and beef when we have Korean beef bowls, but it's something. It's fine. They love my teriyaki salmon bowls as well. So bowls are huge in our house. It is why I wrote a whole book on them, because they are our favorite meal. They also love tacos. Lately, they've been really enjoying my Chipotle smash burger tacos. I shared that one recently on Instagram. They love my Greek marinated chicken. We make that often. And we like that as a bowl and also as my Greek chicken wraps. They've really, really enjoyed my honey barbecue pork tenderloin with sweet potatoes recently. Now, that is a sheet pan meal. It is not a base meal, and you could definitely mix it up with different sides. Typically, we serve it with slaw, but that is a hit in our family. They like my Mediterranean whitefish a lot. That is also kind of a one pan dish. You cook it all in the oven. It's an olive oil braised Mediterranean whitefish with tomatoes and olives and capers. My kids love olives, so that works really well for us as a family. My husband doesn't like olives, but he tolerates it because the dish is super good. My kids love Caesar salad, and so we will do Caesar salad with my garlic butter steak or salmon or pan-seared chicken on top. They really like my sheet pan steak fajitas, and those are a really easy sheet pan meal that they can kind of mix up a little bit too. My younger daughter doesn't love the peppers and onions a whole ton, but she'll eat a couple of them. My older daughter, it's one of the only ways that she will eat peppers is in with the sheet pan fajitas, but we have toppings that they can add to them, just like with the smash burger tacos or with just tacos in general. They love, oh, my burger bowls. I forgot to mention those when it comes to bowls. They very much love my burger bowls. And that's another one, just like the Cobb salad. I just put out all the ingredients and it's like a salad base, but they can add their own favorite toppings. I mentioned the salmon with broccoli and rice that we mix up often. Sometimes it's teriyaki, sometimes it's pan-seared. They also love my red curry coconut salmon as well. And usually we serve that with some sort of a roasted broccoli as well. They love meatballs. They love my pesto turkey meatballs, my curry sweet potato meatballs, and my five ingredient meatballs. In the spring and summer, I'll make a double batch of meatballs and we will do half of them on wrap. So similar to the Greek chicken wrap, we'll do a Greek wrap with a tzatziki and a chopped Greek salad and some feta cheese, and my kids will add what they want to on there. We'll do barbecue chicken meatball wraps, and I'll make up some slaw and we'll add slaw to the wrap with meatballs and barbecue sauce and whatever toppings. I love, you know, like red onions and chives and cilantro, and the kids do not, so they will eat it with just the base ingredients. Speaking of, they also love my barbecue chicken bowls, which is great. As the weather warms up, we can cook the chicken outside. They also really enjoy my Hawaiian chicken bowls as well. There are not many of the bowls in the bowls book that they don't enjoy, to be honest. I'm trying to think of one that they don't enjoy. They aren't a huge fan anymore of peanut sauce. I love peanut sauce, but lately they haven't been into it. So the peanut chicken bowl, that's not their favorite. But for the most part, they really do love all the bowls. Oh, and they're also so on buffalo. I made buffalo chicken burgers recently that they really enjoyed, and that recipe is going to be on my website soon. But for the most part, they're not huge buffalo fans either. But those are some of the ones they've loved. They love my chicken tortilla soup, my bang bang shrimp bowls, and those are kind of our go-to meals these days, honestly. We kind of rotate through those a lot, as well as new recipes that I'm creating, obviously, because it's what I do. But if I were just to feed my family those meals, they would be really happy with those. And I think what we try and focus on, like I said, other than lots of real whole foods and letting the kids choose what and how much they eat, is giving them a little bit of that freedom and autonomy. So doing a lot of those base meals where there's a lot of different options, but still providing them with a lot of exposure to new foods, new flavors, and encouraging that as much as we can. And I think it's worked out well. You know, even though we have one more selective eater, she still eats a large variety of foods, and that's what's important to me. The one thing that we do get pushback about sometimes is that we do limit the processed snacks. And my kids will buy Oreos on occasion. I'm not going to lie to you and act like we only ever eat whole foods in our house, right? I mentioned we go to Chick-fil-A a couple times a year. We will eat Oreos on occasion. I love the gluten-free Oreos. And we'll go to the beach and we'll bring meal prep snacks with us. You know, we will bring homemade snacks and, you know, pasta salad and some grapes and some carrots and all of these great foods, and we'll bring Oreos with us. And I try and provide a balance for my kids in that way as much as I can, but it is important to me that we eat mostly real whole foods. So as my kids have gotten older, especially my older daughter, she wants a lot more of those processed snacks that she has tried with her friends. And I don't want her to feel deprived, and I don't want her to feel like we're keeping anything from her, because I don't want that to backfire in the future. So because I want them to have a balanced relationship with food, and I know it's not entirely in my control, but I'm doing as much as I can, or I'm trying to do as much as I can. Right? Again, we are not perfect. But so that's been interesting navigating that. I let her buy foods with her own money. She earns a little bit of money babysitting. And so we kind of just try and take it meal by meal, snack by snack. I typically don't outright tell them, no, you can't have these snacks, but we limit them, but try not to be restrictive, if that makes sense. It's something we are constantly navigating. So that is something we do get pushback, as she is almost 11. And I feel the need to clarify, just because my daughter doesn't babysit other kids' children at the age of 11. She is not quite responsible for that. She'll be ready for that in the future. But it's just her keeping an eye on her sister, watching her sister. And it's one way that she can kind of earn her allowance and make a little bit of money. It's her own sister. And it's with us close by. And just to clarify, I don't want anyone coming at me for letting my 11-year-old with like young children. She's not ready for that yet, in a couple years for sure. But not quite yet. But yeah, she will earn a little bit of her own money and she'll want to buy a bag of Takis. And I'm like, sure, kid, if that's what you want to spend your money on, you know, sometimes she'll save it. And yep, she is a Sephora kid. She'll want to go to Sephora. But sometimes all she wants is a bag of Takis, and I'm not going to keep her from that, right? Because I'm all about balance too. And I really want my kids to enjoy that balance. And so that's kind of how we are navigating food in our house and outside of our house and in this season. Overall, this season is so much easier for us in a lot of ways when it comes to food. Sometimes it's more frustrating because they do voice their opinion, and there are things that they want now that they didn't before, and there are things that they know exist that they didn't before. But our goal is, as always, keep exposing them to new foods, keep introducing them to new foods, keep adding more variety in our meals, mixing up our family favorites, and just encouraging that exploration around food and encouraging a love of food and a love of real whole foods and foods that make us feel good too. So I hope this was helpful. This is a lot longer than I thought I'd be on here chatting. I'm hungry. I need to go grab some breakfast. It is early in the morning right now. But I hope you enjoyed this. I hope it was helpful. I hope you enjoyed these occasional chatty episodes. If you have been enjoying this podcast, I would so appreciate it if you left me a rating and a review and let me know what you're enjoying about this podcast. It is so helpful to help this podcast be seen by more moms, to help me know what you enjoy. If you like these chatty episodes, let me know and I can do more of them. I know that I ramble a little bit, but if it's helpful to you to hear another mom's perspective, not as an expert, but as someone who is really passionate about feeding my kids a lot of real whole foods and having a balanced approach to it as well. If you found it helpful, please just let me know or just shoot me a DM over on Instagram at Healthy Mama Chris. Let me know in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club over on Patreon, where a lot of the recipes that I mentioned are. So any of the recipes that I mentioned in today's episode, if there is a link to them, then I will put it in the show notes for sure. And if not, they're all over in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club. So if you are looking for more weeknight dinner ideas, done for you meal plans, you'll find that all over on Patreon in the Healthy Mama Cooking Club, patreon.com/healthymamachris. That is what I have for all of you today. I hope you all have a great week and I'll catch you in the next episode. Until next time, happy cooking.
Thank you for listening to Mommy's Podcast.
Friend, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Healthy Mama Kitchen Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you love to listen to podcasts so you never miss a cooking tip. If you've been loving this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It truly makes a difference in how many other busy cooks find this show and lets me know what you're loving and want to hear more of. For show notes and links to all the recipes and tools I mention, head to healthymamachris.com/podcast. For daily eats, cooking tips, and family-friendly shortcut dinner ideas, be sure to follow along over on Instagram at healthymamachris. Remember, cooking for your family may not always feel easy, but it can be simple.